This is the Gambling Gauchos.
Let me, I got some. Okay, hold on. Hold on.
Hey, if we keep playing and fighting for each other, and no matter what happens, we just say what's next. That's all we do. Somebody turn on some damn music.
You're listening to the Gambling Gauchos. Talking Texas Tech, betting on the Big 12 and beyond. We've got everything you need, money lines, memes, and matadors.
Well, you want to quit, Ethan? That'll be the day.
Now, here's Kyle Jacobson and Rob Bro.
And Ryan Mainville.
Line Matadors, the Casino Cowboys, the Parlay Picadors.
You see, in this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns and those who dig. You dig.
The Gambling Gauchos. Oh, and one more thing. It's all West Texas. It always has been.
Welcome into the Gambling Gauchos. That first intro was fire, but I was muted, so the video stream saw my mouth moving and was like, look at that idiot. We are in the Cardinal Sports Center studio. You can go gear up for Texas Tech basketball, maybe a tournament run. We'll talk about it. Texas Tech baseball as well, never going to lose. And hopefully they don't lose tomorrow because I would feel bad. I'm here with Kyle Jacobson and Ryan Mainville. If we had a dunk contest between the three of us, I would put my money on Ryan Mainville. I'll be honest. Kyle, would that offend you?
I did dunk once.
Tell me the story behind your dunk, Ryan.
It was my sophomore year of high school. I was peaking in my high. I was like 6'1 at the time. And we were just in the gym warming up before practice and just went up for it and sort of tossed it in the rim while also touching the cylinder. So I called it a dunk. Probably not a 50 like Mac McClung, but hey, to each their own.
You said this happened at practice?
Before practice, yeah.
We're talking about practice?
Yeah.
A game. You didn't dunk in a game.
Nope.
Talking about practice.
Yep.
If practice counts, and I don't know. Similar deal. I was a late bloomer. My senior year of high school is when I finally got athletic. And so me and some guys who played football, like, we weren't good enough to play basketball for the school. And so we joined like the rec league for like high school students. And we played there. I wanted to dunk. The only time I thought about trying to dunk in a game was coming out of half. We would always set up on the wrong end of the floor and then like inbound the ball and get a free layup on the side that we were actually supposed to be shooting on. And I was like, this is my shot. Like, there's nobody there. I have all the time in the world. But I was like, that'd be so embarrassing to miss a dunk in a game, especially when you're wide open.
Especially in a rec league.
Yeah. No, if we lowered it down to like 9 feet, I feel like we could actually do a dunk contest. At 10, I don't think any of us could do it, so it would be pretty pathetic. But
yeah, 9 feet, I think I could get that. It's the 9 that would maybe like 9.5.
Yeah.
Did y'all ever have the goals that hung on your bedroom door?
Yes. 100%.
Or the
and got his competition one. There.
Yeah.
Maybe some pig. I don't know if I could do anything for content, I guess. All right, Texas Tech basketball, 3 in a row? Maybe? Figuring some things out. Ryan, what's the biggest difference between winning and losing for Texas Tech basketball? Because it felt like they played pretty good for the most part. And I thought this weekend was their biggest win of the season so far. I know you had the big comeback. I know you had the win at home against Texas, but doing it on the road, I thought even against a team less talented, was really big for this team.
Yeah, it definitely was. And I mean, if you wanted to have any conversation about making the tournament this late after, you know, an 8-game losing streak to open Big 12 play, there was just going to be no conversation if you lost this one. And as you mentioned, kind of a down year for West Virginia, not the team they usually are, but they just manhandled you in Lubbock earlier in the season, just destroyed you on the boards. You couldn't make a shot to save your life. And then you come back this weekend in Morgantown. Your offense plays a lot better. You shoot better from three and you out rebound West Virginia in one of your best rebounding games as a team over the past 13 years. And so I think that's a lot of what goes behind that West Virginia victory. But really, you know, out of these last three games and even the 5 out of the last 7, it's really been just shot making for Texas Tech. Wherever they can get it, they won some games because Kerwin Walton was the guy making shots. They won some games because Pop Isaacs was the guy making shots. Davion Harmon obviously took over for a while, and now it's Jalen Tyson. And so this team, you know, it's been a conversation throughout the season that they don't really have a guy. And I think that's probably still true. But on any given night, there's somebody on this team that will find a way to make shots and to keep Texas Tech in it until the final buzzer. And right now, that's been enough to win them games.
I think people might undersell West Virginia as a team from the standpoint of, like, their conference record isn't very good. It's the same as yours. But for whatever reason, the computers have loved them all year. So they were, like, net, I think, 23 at the time of the game. I think they're 32 now. But anyway, I think you got a lot of credit for the win from that standpoint. And, you know, I don't know what people think about the whole net system and quad one system, but mathematically, like using net and everything, that was a better win than some other bubble teams have, like in their top 3 or 4 wins on their resume. And so from this point on, you want West Virginia to hopefully finish strong down the stretch and kind of, they're pretty firmly on the bubble, but if they can maintain a top 30 net to end the season, that'll look like a really, really strong win for you.
Early question here, power rank the Big 12 wins for Texas Tech this weekend. Now that you've had all of the wins, I still think this is the most important win you've had. Selfishly, probably, you know, Texas at home. Iowa State, that comeback, all big ones, really big, in my opinion. I don't know if I could power rank them. Probably the West Virginia win, though, because you found out some more things. And on the point of kind of having a guy every night, a different guy most nights, sometimes nobody shows up, but I'm not saying that this team is going to figure it out to the extent that the good team did that went to the national championship game, but that's what they had. You know, it was Matt Mooney, it was Jarrett Culver, it was Tariq Owens would have a big game, Brandon Francis would pop off every once in a while, and you had that kind of depth. You have to have that in the Big 12. You can't just live with one guy. Very few teams do it, and it takes an incredible player to live that way.
Yeah, and I think West Virginia is living through some of that right now, even with their own offense. And so I think, you know, there are downfalls to this Tech team. You know, they're very top heavy. Really, any guy in their starting lineup this season can be the biggest problem for you. But outside of that, I think you're still just kind of looking for anything to give you production off the bench. And so that 18-19 team, obviously they had a lot of that coming off the bench, a lot of really good role players. And I also think they had a system that they really fit within. I don't know if that's there for this Texas Tech team, but what they're doing, I mean, offensively has been enough to win them games so far. I think they're still trying to figure it out on the defensive end, But for right now, they seem to be winning games on the offensive end.
Two things you mentioned right there. In my opinion, that was the best defensive game you've played all year. I don't know what the metrics say, but the disparity in paint points, the rebounding advantage, I don't know that you closed out every opportunity you had on defense, and it certainly wasn't elite, but that was a really good defensive game in my opinion. Was that maybe Kansas State? I don't know. I just felt like that was a complete game defensively.
Interesting, too, to look at the rotation. Kerwin Walton was in the starting lineup. And they kind of went like the Dylan Dushek, Ryan Shetter route. He only played for 10 minutes. Then Pop comes in off the bench, plays 29 minutes. Nobody else on the bench played double-digit minutes. And so the rotation really tightened up. AMAC, 32 minutes. O'Banner, 32. Tyson, 36. Harmon, 30. So I don't know what it'll look like moving forward. I don't know if Bacho – when or if he'll come back and what type of condition he'll be in. But you might kind of be rolling with those five guys playing 30-plus minutes each and then just getting a breather here and there. Having said that, we've also seen the lineup just be extremely fluid throughout the season. And so I could be totally surprised. And maybe one of those guys that played 6 minutes in Morgantown plays 24 in Norman, just like out of nowhere. We've certainly seen that happen before. But we had a comment in the chat about AMAC, and I had to listen to part of the game on the radio, so I missed watching some of it. And I remember at one point they said he was 0-for-7 from the field, and I was just like, man, I didn't have eyes on it at that point, and so wasn't quite sure what he was looking like. And I was just thinking to myself, man, he just might not be in condition to do this. And it's unfortunate for him coming back from that injury. And he only finished 2-for-11, so nothing to write home about there. But he got to the free throw line, was 10 of 10 there, and every single one of them was huge for you. So he was able to finish with a double-double, 14 and 12. It wasn't pretty, but you'll take it.
He really took over at the end, too. And look, for AMAC to be successful, he has to be able to get the ball in the paint. Now, I know there's pick and pops and short rolls and pick and rolls that you can do with Fardaw's AMAC, but I don't know that you have the guards that are really good at that. I know we really wanted to do that early in the season, but when Pop Isaacs went down, Lamar Washington struggling with ball handling, I don't know that Davian Harmon, that's his game. He would rather drive and dish, I think. Emphasis on the drive. But if you can get that going, I really do think Fardaw's in. You have to figure out how to get some angles. Jalen Tyson, Davian Harmon, Lamar Washington, Pop Isaacs have to figure out how to get angles and get it down to both O'Banner and Fardaw's. I thought that really opened up the game at the end. I did have a question, too. How big was it for Pop Isaacs to return? Because there was some flittering on social media. It was just one guy, really. But more than one guy said that the offense opened up without Pop Isaacs, and the offense was better without Pop Isaacs because you started winning. I flat out disagree with that, but I want Ryan's take on the impact of Pop Isaacs' return.
I mean, there's not many teams in the country that really have a guy of his caliber. And I think that's lost on a lot of people because he is a freshman and he plays like it at times. And that's just kind of life, as a true freshman point guard in the Big 12. You can't expect them to be perfect, especially this year. Like, all things considered, for Pop Isaacs to be missing as much time as he has, to be battling an injury throughout the offseason, and to be here in Big 12 play, and he's averaging 12 points per game, 3 assists, a steal and a half, and under 3 turnovers, like, that's a massive success. And that doesn't even take into consideration the spacing that he creates when he's on the floor because of his ability to shoot the ball, especially off the dribble. And that's something that I think Texas Tech may not have outside of Jalen Tyson. And even that, it can be hit or miss behind the arc. And so his ability to just take those pull-up threes at they're like off the pick and roll, or whether it's coming off a screen on the wing side, it's unmatched. And he really elevates your offensive spacing.
And there's two things to say there, because some people say he shoots too much. I say Texas Tech should shoot more. Like, other guys just weren't taking shots. When you were losing, other guys just weren't taking shots. he was passing, and then the ball was getting back to him, and he was shooting. I think Jalen Tyson has been much more aggressive. Davion Harmon, obviously, in stretches, has been really aggressive and really good. So I think Pop is really good for this team, and I'm glad they got to keep him out because they won a couple times, and he got to be he looked healthy. He set out the proper amount of time, it looks like. So really excited for a stretch run. Obviously, we'll talk through the schedule in a second, but there's some windows here for Texas Tech to legitimately be in bubble conversation with a win in Norman.
Certainly. Ryan, I know you're the Bart Torvik expert. Am I correct that he has like an NCAA tournament probability for each team on his website?
Yeah.
What does that look like for Texas Tech right now?
Right now, they have an 18.5% odds at getting a bid. They project that as a 10 seed.
Wow. So that's probably – and here's what people might not kind of wrap their heads around. In the last 2 weeks, you've probably multiplied by 15 or 20 your odds of making the tournament. Now, granted, it went from like 1% or less than 1% to what it is now. I keep seeing people say that you need to – like you can only lose one more. And I know it sounds crazy, but I think you might actually be able to get in at 7-11 or like maybe 6-12 if you win some more games in the tournament, depending on how those are, quad one, quad two, all that good stuff. The good thing about this conference, I mean, it's a double-edged sword because you started 0-8 in conference play, 0-9, whatever it was, in part because it's so grueling. All these teams are so good. But the other side of that is almost every night you have a chance at a quad one win, and those are super helpful in this NCAA tournament committee formula. And so I've started looking. I know your total win-loss record isn't great, but I've started to compare because Lenardi updates his bracket like multiple times a day at this point in the season. And I keep looking at your resume versus the last four in that he has. And honestly, most times, as fluid as his last four in has been, you're like right there. Your resume, using various data points, is very comparable to the last four in. And so if you can maintain some of this and get to, I don't know, six quad one wins, I think you're going to hopefully be in that discussion. And maybe it's too little too late. But I think people are fixated on that conference record and thinking like, oh, well, you can't get in at any worse than, you know, this many conference wins. And I don't know, they might be right, but I think you've at least played your way into being part of the conversation here in the last couple of weeks of the regular season.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw this on my Twitter or not, but I ran through some essentially scenarios of what Texas Tech would have to do to make the tournament. And you're talking about that win mark. If they go 2-2 in the regular season with wins coming against TCU and Oklahoma State, and then they beat West Virginia and UT in the tournament, they'd have a 64% chance at making the tournament. They'd be a last four in team, but they'd have a good chance at getting a bid. And so I think the conversation about winning out the regular season, obviously, I think if you win out, you're there. You're going to go dancing. But I don't think that's necessarily what has to happen. I think four wins is really what the metrics are telling you you've got to reach. And I think you really want three of those to come in the regular season. You can afford to lose to Kansas in the fog, but I think you've got to really win these other three. Because if you win those three and then you pick up a win in the Big 12 tournament, you've got a 72% chance at a bid. So you're probably going dancing again.
And that's an interesting part of this dynamic that we haven't had to consider in the last few seasons because the team has finished so good. But that 7-10 play-in game in the Big 12 tournament, in most conferences, playing the, let's say, the ninth seed isn't going to do you any good. But if the ninth seed is West Virginia and their net is 32 like it is today on a neutral side, that's another quad one win. And so you could theoretically get a quad one win just in the play-in format. I'm with you. I think the committee has always valued regular season games more heavily. But you're going to have a chance to play a quad one game potentially, even in the play-in, depending on if you're seeded 8th, 9th, or 10th. I don't think any of those bottom three teams, OU, West Virginia, Tech, will move up to seventh. But that'll be an interesting part of this to follow, is like who kind of, I don't know, finishes eighth versus ninth. I guess it's pretty likely it'll be Tech and West Virginia in some order, but we'll see. And yeah, Rob, I've got a whole bunch of data points I can run through on the current last four in if you want me to, or if you want to take this a different direction.
I do want to do that, but I had one more thing. I think the Oklahoma game is really important for what you're talking about to ensure they're the 10 seed. I think that's important. And also, to put it in baseball terms, Ryan, what you were just talking about, is that, you know, the magic number is 8 for Texas Tech basketball. That's you're automatically in, or it would be a shock if you weren't in if you won 8 games through the end of the Big 12 tournament. If you had 8 Big 12 wins on the season.
Yeah, I think that's about right. Because I think you've got to find 4 somewhere.
Yeah. Well, that'd be 9. Would you have 4 Big 12 or 5?
No, that'd be 8.
4.
Okay. You're right. I was getting ahead of myself, sorry.
And I'm basically completely ruling out the possibility of winning at Fog Allen. Even the team that went to the Final Four got completely housed there. They're in contention for the number one overall seed. I mean, it's just, if you win, they're great. I'll gladly eat that crow. But I'm basically chalking that one up as an L and then saying you have to hold serve at home. That's 2 more. And that's where this game in Morgantown and Norman so important. You absolutely need at least one of those 2. You have 1, so you've put yourself in a decent position as far as controlling your own destiny, even if you lose at the Fog, which I think you will. I don't think you need to like count on beating Kansas in Lawrence to make the field or anything like that.
Yeah, and Kevin McCullough hurt his ankle, and people were talking about him missing time, and then he went 9-8 against Baylor.
Mm.
So he's fine.
That game was crazy, by the way. Baylor could not miss in the first half. I forgot what their largest lead was, but on BPI, they had a 91% chance to win with like 45 seconds left in the first half. And in that chart, it was like Baylor up here goes like straight down for 10 straight minutes at the start of the second half. Kansas must have gone on like a 32-6 run or something. Anyway, Kansas wins by 16 after allegedly only having a 10% chance to win the game at all. So that's just the kind of uphill battle it is to play there against a good team like that, which is why I'm just not counting on that one at all.
Big Hint says, does your loss have to be at Kansas if you lose? If you go 3-4, does it have to be to Kansas? Or I think it is important to not lose to Oklahoma, but the rest would be quad one wins, so I don't think it really matters after that, yes?
Yeah, so OU, I think their net is 60-something, so they're kind of flirting with falling out of quad one territory, even though that's a road game. If they fall below, I think, 75, that will be quad two. But all the other ones, even though they're at home, I think should be quad one because they're all net, you know, top 30 or so.
I think maybe in the mind of the committee, it shouldn't matter, but it probably does, that if you lose to Oklahoma or TCU, who's kind of not been strong to end the year, it would be worse than if you lost to Kansas. I don't think anybody would bat an eye if you lost to Kansas. So probably.
Well, and I've talked about this before on the podcast. I just can't help but look back at some of those games that you barely lost. And it's like, if you had 2 of those at this juncture, I'm not getting greedy. I'm not saying if you'd won all of those, if you'd won half of those. But like, if you don't choke against Oklahoma and Lubbock, that's probably your worst conference loss at this point. If you can hold on to one of those double-digit leads in Fort Worth or in Austin, if you can fend off Kansas in the final minute in Lubbock, like you're probably still on the bubble, but you're on the right side of it and have a little bit more margin for error down the stretch here. But anyway, I'm going to kind of read through Lunardi's last 4 in right now, which is, of course, the bare minimum of where you want to get to. And this changes not only daily, but multiple times a day, because Lunardi sometimes updates this like 3 times per day. But his last 4 in right now is Mississippi State. Their net is 42. West Virginia, their net is 32. USC, net 57. And Wisconsin, net 76. Texas Tech right now sitting at net 54. Mississippi State has 3 quad one wins. Their 4 best wins of the season were against net number 14, 19, 22, and 50. So in my opinion, they've got three pretty strong wins, and then their fourth best win is like really not much to write home about. Zero quad three or four losses, so that's good for them. They have no bad losses on their resume. West Virginia, we're a little more familiar with their resume. Five quad one wins. That's a good number for a bubble team. Their top four wins were against net 15, 22, 30, and 51. So same deal, a little bit of a drop-off after those top three wins. Same deal, zero quad three or four losses. So they've got a high floor. This is where things kind of get interesting and where I think Tech, even if the season ended today, might have a somewhat credible argument. USC has three quad one wins. Their four best wins are against net four, so that's an extremely good win. And then their next three best wins are against net 30, net 59, and net 64. 59 and 64 would be like the 10th place team in the Big 12. They have two quad three or quad four losses. Wisconsin, they have five quad one wins. That's in their favor. Their top four wins net 14, 21, 36, and 57. Zero quad three or four losses. What's interesting about their top three wins, all three came consecutively out of conference very early in the season, which it's not – I guess that's up to the committee to weigh like recency bias and to what extent they go with the hot hand on Selection Sunday. But Texas Tech has four quad one wins. And so two teams in the Final Four in have five. Two teams have three. So they're kind of right in the middle there. Top four wins, net 9, 15, 20, and 32. So their fourth best win is about as good as some of these teams' second or third best win in some instances. Zero quad three or quad four losses. So they don't have a great resume. It's not a slam dunk by any stretch of the imagination. But they're getting to the point where if you looked at the eight teams on the right side of the bubble, the eight teams on the wrong side of the bubble, Texas Tech is kind of right there. And so three or four more quad one wins, no more bad losses. The only kind of bad loss that they might get is like if they play OU in Kansas City, that could be, I guess, a quad two loss. But anyway, it's not crazy. Their resume is kind of right on the cusp right now, in my opinion.
If Texas Tech wins two games in the Big 12 tournament, just project yourself on the regular season. Do you think they're in the tournament?
Yes.
Probably so. Yeah, just like Ryan said earlier, especially if it's West Virginia and Texas, which is a very plausible scenario. If you play West Virginia in the 8-9 game, and let's say their net is the same as it is today, 32, and then you play Texas, who's net top 10 on a neutral court, it would be – that would really solidify your resume. And it's up to the committee to kind of weigh the conference tournament, the neutral site games. Like last year, A&M went on a tear in the SEC tournament, and it didn't do them enough good to make the field. So you don't want to rely on that, but I think those would be two – you would have two better wins in conference championship week than most teams would have the opportunity at. And so you could kind of surge ahead at just the right time.
Big 12 question. If I give you Kansas as the solo Big 12 champion, regular season, or the field would include Kansas co-champions, would you take Kansas solo or the field? I'm a big field guy, but the Kansas just feels different right now, especially after that Baylor game.
I'm going field, and here's why. The last game of the regular season is Kansas in Austin. And those two squads are tied right now. I do think it's a three-horse race. I don't think Kansas State or Iowa State can get back in it. I think it's Kansas, Texas, or Baylor. But, yeah, I think it's more likely that somebody will at least split with Kansas. And Texas could still win it straight up by themselves. So, yeah, I'll take the field.
Drop your vote in the chats. Ryan, what do you think?
I'll take the field. But I don't feel good about it. I mean, Kansas State has got West Virginia at home still. That's a game they should win pretty comfortably. They've got Tech at home. TCU on the road. Who really knows what team they are right now, really? But that's a couple that they should have. And then one that they probably will win. So makes me feel good about Kansas, but going to take the field because we're going to play the odds.
Is Mike Miles going to return against Texas Tech in Lubbock? Feels like that would be a thing that would happen.
he played this weekend. Did he return?
Yeah.
I'm so out of it this weekend. Is that a state wrestling tournament? I watched most of the Texas Tech game, and then I took the gym, the internet, whatever, and then watched most of the baseball game too. But speaking of baseball, pretty good weekend. Let's get more basketball in here. Any other basketball thoughts from you guys?
I have one. Y'all might recall, I don't remember which juncture in the season I asked you all this, but I said, is it more likely that you make the field as an at-large or by winning the Big 12 tournament? I guess it was probably when you were 0-3 or 0-4 or something before the wheels really came off. How would you answer today? Or, I mean, have we won enough in the last couple of weeks that you think making the field as an at-large is considerably more likely at this point?
Ooh. With Oklahoma and TCU, Oklahoma State at home, in a scenario where you get a team you've already beaten in the Big 12 tournament or at least split with, well, you're not going to sweep anybody, but I think it's more likely right now that Texas Tech is in the tournament. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say getting a bid. And I think part of my reasoning there is, I mean, we talked about it earlier, but Tech's got, you know, five guys essentially that are playing about 36 minutes a night, and two of those guys are injured still. And so there's just way too many variables there for me in Kansas City to think that this team can kind of hold up for, you know, four games if they're in that play-in situation. So yeah, I'm going to go for an at-large bid.
Dizzy says that's a hot take, Rob. I don't think it's a hot take. I don't think it's like 80-20 that they make the tournament, but I would say it's 51-49 that they make the tournament, and that would make me lean toward Texas Tech will make the tournament. As we've just said, I think 8 is the magic number. You're at 4. You have potentially 6 games left. Is it impossible? No. Is it probable? Probably not, but I would lean toward it. Because even if 7 gets you in, if 7 Big 12 wins get you in, I think also things we need to talk about and that we haven't yet. If West Virginia tanks, you would steal their bid. I mean, if you're an 8 bid league right now and the committee wants West Virginia, and if West Virginia wins one of the last 5 and then doesn't win in the Big 12 tournament, I think all of a sudden, if Oklahoma State tanks the last couple of weeks and they're, you know, 8-whatever, and you're 8-whatever with 2 Big 12 wins in the Big 12 tournament, you might steal their bid. So you might even be the 7th team at the end.
Especially, like you said, if you play them in the first game of the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City and you're both in that first 4 in or out discussion, that could be a de facto play-in game.
Yeah.
And I think their resume right now is the one that is maybe most comparable. You have the same win-loss record, the same conference win-loss record. I think the same quad one wins. They might have one more quad one win than you, but they have a lot of quad one losses like you do. No bad losses, no quad three or quad four losses. So I think they're probably just an inch ahead of you right now, which is why they're last 4 in and you're labeled under being considered or in consideration by Lunardi. But yeah, I think it's hard to see a way where they both get in. I think it's possible for this to be an 8-bid league. But not terribly likely.
No, and I know you have the bit, or whoever tweets from the Gauchos account has the bit that says 9-bid league or whatever, but probably going to be a 7-bid league, maybe an 8-bid league. Again, 51-49. And if it is a playing game with Oklahoma State, with the 4 games remaining, I would say Oklahoma is the most important. Oklahoma State's the second most important. And those are like 1A, 1B. And you also have to think about, you know, it absolutely could be an 8-bid league and probably should be. Dizzy again says a 7-bid league is criminal. But if the Horizon League has their number one seed lose in the Horizon tournament and they get two in, that hurts the Big 12. If the West Coast Conference, if Gonzaga loses to St. Mary's or whatever and St. Mary's gets in, that affects the Big 12. So you have to go chalk in the one bid leagues, and then you have to do your own bidding. So it is not all Texas Tech's prerogative. Like, you're still depending on fate a little bit, but based on today and a week ago, I'm much more comfortable saying that Texas Tech has odds to be in the tournament.
I got to tell you, I undervalued or maybe overvalued like the stress of Selection Sunday when you're like, are we going to be a two? Are we going to be a four? Which city are we going to? Like, that would pale in comparison to all these brackets and like looking at, okay, we're the last team in according to this guy. We're the first team out according to that guy. And like you said, have to follow the Big Sky League or the Horizon League to be like, oh crap, they might be a two-bid league now. That is like next level stress and suffering on Selection Sunday. So
welcome to
I'm glad we're back in the conversation, but if you are like right on the bubble when this thing ends, it's going to be tough.
Ryan says Avery Anderson out for the season is tough for Oklahoma State. Man, when he played with Cade Cunningham, I thought arguably he was as important to Oklahoma State down the stretch as Cade Cunningham was. Obviously, Cade Cunningham, a much different player. But Oklahoma State really needed Avery Anderson. He was really good in that stretch run for them when they went to the tournament. He has not been that good again. I mean, he's a good player. And he is an up-and-down player, but maybe he just was – maybe Cade Cunningham was just that good that he made everybody else look good and drew defense and allowed some more open opportunities. But I really thought Avery Anderson was going to be a like Big 12 Player of the Year type guy last year, and he just was not. And he's been better this year, but
– he feels very similar to me to Spencer Sanders. Like a guy that can win you games at times, but more often than not, just ends up kind of shooting himself on the foot with mistakes.
And that's a very apt, even like Brock Purdy. Like he was just as good as he was going to be early, and then has just kind of been that good and didn't get better like a lot of people thought he would. Before y'all move off the basketball talk, can you roast Eric Stevenson?
Not really, because he was pretty lethal for most of Saturday's game. I saw his post-game comments. I don't know. It's hard to get, at least in my opinion, hard to get worked up about it after the game. Like if it's pre-game, and he was like, well, we don't want to lose to one of the worst teams in the conference on our home floor, then you'd be like, okay, that's locker room material or bulletin board material. But after the game, it's just like, okay, he's pissed because they lost. And, you know, whatever.
I think he was roasted by his own fan base in the comments more than we could roast him. One of them said he lost. They lost to us. Which I thought was the best comment. That's pretty brutal.
West Virginia fans are tough on themselves. Like,
yes, they are.
Football team has not been great lately. Basketball, Huggins has kind of been tailing off a little bit, and they don't take it too well. They're a proud fan base, and they should be. They are usually very good in football and basketball historically. But yeah, they don't seem to handle it very well.
Two last pieces of basketball talk. Mac McClung, NBA dunk contest champion. When the NBA needed someone to bring excitement to the NBA All-Star weekend, they didn't go to Duke or Kentucky. They came to Texas Tech. By the way, Kyle, you are getting really good at writing Kent Hance's tweets, and you tag him in them. I have a serious question. Do you think Kent Hance reads your Gambling Gauchos Kent Hance tweets and then was like, oh, I need to tweet out? Because he is hours after you.
Yeah.
The last 3 months.
I think two things. He follows the Gauchos, number one. And he last night he was like liking tweets that were replies to our tweet. So I know he sees them and reads them. And I do think – I mean, like he sticks to the script. And so like he was going to tweet that regardless. But I do think the last two times, when Pat won Super Bowl MVP, I was like, oh, they didn't get a guy from Georgia or Alabama or Ohio State. The thing that's been spooky the last two times is he used the same three schools that I used.
Yes.
And
basketball too, with Mac McClung, Duke and Kentucky. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I do think maybe he like looks at it as like, oh, yeah, those are good schools to mention. But anyway.
He's been doing that way longer than you've been. I mean, there's a reason you started doing it.
Well, so getting to know the Gauchos back in 2013.
Yeah.
I was working on campus for the freshman, the incoming students orientation. And so I heard Kent Hansen's speech 20 times that summer because he always, would every time the parents would come in, he would address the entire auditorium and he gave them the spiel on when Major League Baseball needed another perfect game, they got Dallas Braden. When the NFL needed a guy to have 100 receptions 3 years in a row, they got Wes Welker and Scott Pelley. And I heard all that. And so, and then when he sort of got active on Twitter, he started doing those tweets. And you're like, oh yeah, that he would say that in person for sure.
That tracks.
Well, yeah, I think I might have it down better than most just because I've heard that speech so many times that
you have it better than Ken Hans.
I've got the cadence down, yeah.
We've got a couple comments here. D. Wayne, who I still need to know who he is. I heard Hans first say it at 2011. Luke is a fan of Ken Hans's podcast, apparently. And then Dizzy says he has 100% caught on to the bit and is playing into it. Other bit of basketball news, unless you want to talk about Mac McClung's dunks. Over two people tapping on the backboard is pretty filthy.
Yeah, you know what else is a slam dunk, Rob?
Rojinho barbecue?
Yes.
Yeah.
I wanted to partake this weekend while I was in Lubbock, but I didn't get the chance. But our friends at Rojinho Barbecue are out in Olton every Thursday through Saturday. You can also find them going all across West Texas in the mobile food truck. Best barbecue in West Texas, Texas Monthly Top 50. Rob, when West Texans needed prime barbecue, they didn't call on any of these other ones from the Hill Country. They got Rojinho Barbecue. Yeah. It's all good. You got to get there early because the lines are long. The gospel has spread. That's what Aaron told us. He's just trying to spread the barbecue gospel. And thankfully for them, it has spread. People line up every day. So get there early. Order online ahead of time, RojinhoBBQ.com. Make sure your food is there when you arrive. And we appreciate their support of the Gambling Gauchos.
Yeah, get your internet order in before 9 a.m. You can have it there when you pick it up. Other bit of basketball news. Did you see the at least smoke to the new West Virginia assistant?
Yes.
Okay. Thoughts?
I don't know if any West Virginia fans listen to this, but from what I can tell on West Virginia Twitter, the source that tweeted that out is the most hated West Virginia sports outlet.
Yeah.
It's like our version of – never mind. I'm not going to go there. You can fill in the blank there, I guess, if you want to. So anyway, I take it with a grain of salt. subscribe on YouTube if you want to get the joke there. YouTube.com/@gamblinggauchos. Anyway, so I'm taking it with a grain of salt until maybe somebody else reports it.
It
would be interesting.
I have a source that has reported it to me. So,
and it, look, this is looking ahead a bit. But if he needs a rehab stint, which I think he does, even though those charges were dropped, starting as an assistant, I think is a good place for him. And that school in particular is one where he could be an assistant for a year or two and then slide right in and probably do a really good job on the court.
Especially when people think that Huggins has lost his fastball. I mean, a lot of people think that Huggins is done.
And that's where I actually think, all the other stuff aside, Huggins might not want that sort of presence on his own bench because he knows the fans are, if they have another season like this, they're going to be like, well, get rid of Huggins and just hire Chris Beard. We know Chris Beard can go to the Final Four and all this stuff. So I would be a little bit surprised if there were legs to it, but if there's smoke, then maybe.
I'm going to be honest. Last week, Bob Huggins was doing an interview with the radio guy, and he was downright jovial. I think Bob Huggins is about to retire. I think he has come to terms. I'll say this. If Chris Beard to West Virginia is official in the next week, he is the next head coach at West Virginia, I think. And I think it might be this offseason. I mean, I don't think they're going to Gary Patterson him, but I mean, I think they'll let him go out gracefully. And I know that Chris Beard is going to coach again. I hate that it's probably going to be in the Big 12, but with all the familiarity and success in the Big 12 that he's had now at two programs, and you can argue about success at Texas, he was only there a year and a half, but he can recruit to the conference. He absolutely could recruit to West Virginia. It would be a really good hire. Would it be a great hire? I mean, he's not getting the Art Briles treatment. He's not.
No.
Nobody's gonna cry. Well, people will be upset when he gets hired somewhere again, but I don't think it'll be. There's not gonna be outrage. He's not gonna get hired and then have the contract pulled. It's gonna be crazy that it's gonna be in the big leagues, but I don't know.
Ryan, what do you think would be a good fit for him to get back into coaching?
I mean, that very much feels like a head coach in waiting job for him. And I think that's probably the direction this will be heading. I mean, if you're an AD and you see that the charges get dropped, I think that, you know, more athletic directors than not will roll the dice on that and hope that they can mitigate the blowback. And then especially if you've got a head coach who's kind of a sitting duck and you're just waiting to see what happens. And I think, you know, with Huggins getting into the Hall of Fame and West Virginia just hasn't really been able to be the caliber of team that they were in the past over the last few years. I mean, I think if you're an AD, especially with what's happening with Mike Neal right now, and I think West Virginia just got a new AD, I think, you know, maybe you try and roll the dice a little bit here and try and sustain some success. But I think that's more likely to me than anything else is Beard landing on a staff at a Power Six school. I don't think that he would take a Group of Six head coaching job. I don't really know what Power Five opportunities would be available to him. Although that's certainly a discussion that you could have. And so I think that's where I see him is first on the bench somewhere next season.
Unless you're talking about non-Power Six jobs, unless it's like, you know, a UConn or a Villanova or Georgetown. Maybe they're done with Patrick Ewing.
Those would all be Power Six jobs.
Oh, they're in the Big East.
I saw.
You know what I mean, though. Like,
yeah.
Marquette. Sorry, Marquette, St. John's, one of those just off the cusp schools that still have a lot of tournament success in our basketball schools.
Marquette would be really funny, given the.
Well, Prashaka's not leaving, but I realized I named all Big East schools.
I saw somebody on Message Board Genius float Auburn because I guess they're tired of Bruce Pearl and like. Hey, if you already hired Hugh Freeze and you withstood that PR hit, hiring a guy who had one charge against him and it was dropped is like, you know, cakewalk. So
it would be really funny for whoever Texas hired to hire Chris Beard. Maybe not funny, but.
Oh, like if they name Rodney Terry permanent and he hires Chris Beard as his assistant?
No, like if Texas hired Bruce Pearl.
Oh.
Auburn hired Chris Beard.
Yeah.
Real question from Dizzy. How does a school not catch major flack from their fan base and donors by hiring someone tarnished like him? he is very tarnished in Lubbock. I think nationally, with the charges dropped and the spin, the immediate spin that the lawyer put out, the statement that Randy True put out, and then the charges getting dropped. I mean, nationally, I don't think that Chris Beard is tarnished long term. I don't. I think that will follow him around for his career. And I think when people talk about, and this is being talked about, him coming back to Texas Tech, I think that is too much. I think there are too many bridges burned, or whatever colloquial phrase you want to use there. But I don't think that he's too tarnished to coach again in the next 2 years. Terrington says there will be some blowback from a small, loud group, Twitter. But if you drop it at 5 on a Friday, by Monday, people have forgotten.
Hey, does anybody care right now about Kendall Briles at TCU?
Credit to me. No.
You know, they went through that for a few days, and then we all moved on.
Yeah. Just also, have you noticed Chris Beard's Twitter profile?
No.
Black header. Name is at Coach Beard. Profile is him on a stool. Hint, Huggy Bear. And then at the Final Four in a Red Raider coaching role.
Well, cool.
Dizzy says, cold world. It is. I mean, it is. And should Chris Beard have all the opportunities he had before the incident? No. Will he? I don't know if he has all of them. He certainly could coach in the NBA.
He'll just have to graduate back up to the type of job he wanted. Like, he'll go to a Texas Tech, West Virginia type program.
Yeah.
And then if he stays clean there and wins, like he probably will, one, no West Virginia fans in this example are going to be upset 3 years from now if he's got him in three straight Sweet 16s. But then two, I don't know about like Kentucky or somebody like that, but a step up from West Virginia or Texas Tech, but maybe a rung below like the true blue bloods, like maybe Arizona, he would go somewhere like that. So yeah, I mean, it's, in my opinion, it's basically like a setback for his career. It didn't end his career. He has to go back to the type of job he was at 3 years ago. And if he wins there, he'll have the same opportunities he had when he was named head coach at Texas.
And I'll say this, like I'll say the quiet part out loud. I think Chris Beard is a generally not great person to be around. I didn't love my encounters with him during his time in Lubbock. He was very arrogant and condescending. I don't enjoy him as a person, but the reality is he's a damn good basketball coach. There's just no other way around it. He gets it. He knows how to get players into his program, and he knows how to build that program culture. And so I think a lot of people, I'm not saying this is what I would do, but a lot of people are going to look over what happened and get this guy on a bench, because the reality is success has followed him. Every single time that he's, you know, ran a program, success has followed. And I think there are a lot of people that are willing to look over a lot of things if it means a winning athletics program and generating revenue, because that's ultimately what this all leads down to at the end of the day, is winning games and selling tickets.
And I think as soon as Chris Beard put out I want to use the word genuine, but I don't know that I would even believe it, but at least some type of statement, I think that would go a long way. If he said, you know, I lost my way. I was in a dark place. Me and my fiance were in a dark place, and it happened, and we're moving on from it, and yada, yada. I don't know that that will happen, but I do think that that would go a long way. All right. You want to move on from that, or do you have a final thought there, Kyle?
Nope, let's talk Mac McClung.
Oh, go back to Mac?
We didn't really talk about it that much.
Yeah, let's do it some more.
I interrupted with the Rahino ad read.
So what was your favorite dunk? I already said mine. The tap in the backboard was, I mean, the 720 was awesome, but
it also wasn't a 720.
Well, they called it a 720. What would you say? Also, was it okay, a 700?
Couple thoughts on this.
Okay.
They need to teach a little bit of, what would that be, geometry? Trigonometry? I don't even know.
Calculus?
Because the commentators are going back and forth. They're like, what was it? Is it a 720? He's like, no, it was more like a 360 and a half. It's like, okay, there's a
540.
There's a correlating degree for that. That would be a 540.
Yeah.
Look, I went Zapruder on it. I wanted it to be a 540. But when he dunks the ball, his feet and shoulders are aligned the exact same way they were when he took off. It was a 360. And it was still a freaking sweet dunk. And
just a really fast 360.
There's like an illusion because he kept spinning after he dunked it that made it look like he was like twirling the whole time. It was a sick dunk. He deserved to win, hands down, but it was a 360.
Do you know how I know the rotations and what they are and how many spins it is?
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4?
Two, but yeah. A lot more older than you.
Did you ever
– I did originally, actually.
Did you ever go to Cheat Planet and do like zero gravity and do like 16 spins?
Oh, yeah.
I don't even remember like how high it was. Like, oh, I just did a 32,840 or something. It's just ridiculous.
I always did the cry stare because I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Dude, that's a throwback.
So he, yes, and SSX, what was it? Tricky. Pro Tricks, Tricky, whatever it is, the snowboarding game.
That was a fun game.
There was also a mountain biking game called Downhill Racer.
Yes. That was Downhill Domination?
Downhill Domination, yes.
Yeah. That you could throw bottles at people?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've never known anyone that knew that game.
Yeah, I love that game.
I was the only one that played that. That's awesome. Yeah, man, that was awesome. All right. He also just got signed by the 76ers. They were really high on him during the, what is it, Future Stars game. He dropped like 40 the week before with the Blue Crabs or the Blue Lobsters or Blue Lagoons, wherever he was playing.
Blue Coats.
Sure. So, I mean.
The Blue Lobsters.
I hope he's, I think it's Maine, right? I think they have a lobster as their logo.
I don't know.
Right. That was a bromance moment. I hope he gets a legitimate shot with Philadelphia to end the year. Ryan, I'm not way up on the NBA. I watch the Mavericks basketball. Is there a real spot for him with Philadelphia to – I don't know if you know either. I'm assuming you do. You're an NBA guy. Is there a legitimate spot for him on that roster to make some movements?
He can score, which is a very valuable commodity for – pretty much any NBA team nowadays. And so I think there's a real chance that he can, you know, find himself on any bench that he wants if there's a spot open on a team that needs scoring. And so we'll see what happens. I still think that his size is a bit of a problem in the league. And I think his speed, it's obviously not fair to categorize athleticism for him in general because the guy can jump 50 inches in the air. But the speed, especially defensively, is a bit of an issue right now. And so I think size and defensive issues are really what's going to either make or break for him finding a role.
Would you qualify him as quick but not fast? I think offensively, yes. He has some burst, but
yeah.
Is he deceptively fast?
Is he a lunch pail guy?
Coach's kid?
Is he gritty?
What I loved the most about the dunk contest was, like, I don't know, he kind of mentioned it after the fact doing some interviews. He was like, honestly, that was kind of a blur. Like, I'm still trying to process it. But imagine, yeah, like your career trajectory, you're in the D League or wherever, or G League, I guess they call it now. They call you up 3 days ago, like, hey, yeah, hey, you're in the dunk contest. And every time you go dunk, you have like Giannis and Shaq and all these guys gassing you up. And like you win and you're doing all these interviews, all this crazy stuff. And I guess we just, I don't know, maybe I don't remember. Maybe he didn't do a ton of media availability at Tech. But I don't remember actually like hearing from him very much during his one season in Lubbock. But he just came across with so much humility when, like, he didn't have to. He could have been like, yeah, I'm that dude. I just came in out of nowhere and, like, all 50s and everyone thinks I'm the man. But he just seemed, like, actually grateful to be there, but also putting on an absolute show for everybody. And so I was really proud of the affiliation with Texas Tech, like, not just because of the dunking, but just how he came across personally. And I think he won over a ton of fans with the dunks and with his personality. And so, yeah, I hope he sticks on a roster, because I think he'd be a definite fan favorite. He said he would do the dunk contest again if they invited him back. And so it'd be cool for him to sort of carve out a role as a role player and fan favorite type. And hopefully he could stick in the league for a few years.
Yeah. Mac McClung, because he got popular on Instagram first, because he was a high school House of Highlights guy, people all assumed he was just some cocky SOB. And he was kind of in high school, but he was flashy and it was getting attention and he was getting recruited. And then he went to Georgetown, right? And then he comes to Texas Tech and people are just like, oh, Mac McClung, you're going to get this crazy stuff. And he was never like, I don't remember a bunch of dunks when he was here. That wasn't the role. And that's not how the team played. He was really good. I think he won Newcomer of the Year. But the two, you mentioned his interviews. The two I remember, hit the game winner in Austin. And then mid interview, he's like, all right, I got to go celebrate with my teammates. So he's a team first guy, and he always just came across as really genuine, and he's not flashy. He plays flashy because he's really good. But I agree with those points, and it's kind of an underrated aspect of Mac McClung. Because you just think of the – he's the Instagram guy. He's the highlight guy. And he just – I don't think he plays that way. I think he's just good.
Yeah, that shot versus Texas was – it was a really cool memory. It involves Beard, so it might taint it for some people, but I just remember him, like, dribbling down the court and Beard from the bench basically, like, pointing. Let's see if I can get my finger in the shot here. He's, like, pointing at the spot on the floor, and McClung just, like, shoots it right in the dude's eye, makes it. And then I think they did an impromptu fireside chat from the plane because they were stuck on the runway. And this is one of those moments, maybe it was funny at the time, and looking back, Ryan, you're like, no, Chris Beard is just a jerk. But yeah, he was interviewing, I think it was Terrence Shannon and Mac McClung. And he said something about McClung's shot. And he was like, yeah, we need him to make shots because he doesn't play any defense or something like that. And like, it was funny because you were coming off a big win and McClung laughed at it. But now looking back, you're like, yeah, maybe Chris Beard is just borderline insulting one of his players. But that was such a huge shot and cool memory. One of those guys like McClung and Mooney and all those, you just wish you could have had him for 3 or 4 years instead of one. But, you know, he's still giving us a ton of good memories. And you get to cheer for him in things like the dunk contest even after he leaves.
All right, we have Texas Tech baseball to talk about, but we will do that, I believe, in the midweek. Yes? Obviously, this series is not over. But real quick, before we get to the mailbag, the Diversified Lenders mailbag, a player that has impressed you, if you both have one, or if Kyle wants to give one, then we can move on. Ryan can too.
Baseball?
Yes.
Ooh, a lot.
A lot
of good bats. I think Cash has played really well.
Yes.
A little bit of a personal favorite of mine because a strong meme potential. You know, that poster of Johnny Cash flipping the bird. I turned that around into a guns up.
Yeah, that's one of your best works.
Thank you. I thought Brendan Gurton, the big Gurt, coming on in relief, but for six innings, he was more or less your starting pitcher that day, and he might work himself into that role. I'll just put it out there. I'm biased toward guys with great meme potential, so I like the big Gurt. I like Blessy Your Heart. You just got destroyed by Bo Blessy. I like Cash. But I think Gage Harrelson flashed the bat. You asked me for one guy, and here I am just like
– yeah, just name them all, Kyle.
Sorry. I thought Vuletic looked good at the plate. He only swung the bat once, but you know what I mean? He looked good.
Yes.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Now I'm curious to see how Trenton Parrish does as the fourth starter and, you know, if he's that guy in the midweek. Haven't seen a ton of, well, like really hardly any, besides that Gurton performance, you haven't seen much of your bullpen in any big moments. And so want to see how that rounds out. But, yeah, a lot of really promising players, it looks like.
Yeah, I thought Josh Sanders, maybe from the bullpen, was your best arm so far. Ryan, he said all the names, but do you have any that you want to add?
I think something for me, I'm not a huge baseball guy, but I'll watch Texas Tech baseball whenever it's on. The thing for me is speed. Like, this is just a team that's a little bit faster than a lot of the Texas Tech baseball teams that I've watched over the years. And so it kind of almost feels like that attempt to counter some of that Yankee ball and go a little bit quicker, almost like the Yankees did this past season, tried to gain some more speed. And so I think in this series so far, it's looked good. Yeah, we'll see what happens the rest of the season.
I was going to say, you were recruiting this class long before the Oklahoma series, but they killed you with speed last year. And I mean, you're that fast this year. And two names you didn't say, Green, this some big stick, and then
big stick energy.
Bazell's going to be good. I always want to call him Basil because of the Great Mouse Detective, but
hit him with a little basil.
Yeah.
We'll workshop it.
Okay.
Also, another thing, this isn't specific to one individual player, but you had a major deficiency last season turning double plays in the infield. And I think you've done that four times through three games against Gonzaga. Maybe I missed one, or maybe I'm overcounting. But if that can become hopefully a defensive staple for you, as good as the pitching has looked to this point, if you sort of add that element to your game where even if a guy does reach base on a walk or a single, if you've got a decent shot at getting a ground ball in the infield and turning two, that would, I think, represent a major leap from last season. So I hope to see that continue.
Yeah. And I hope you can find two guys that are going to be staples there, because that helps the defense. Burns, Lopez, Green, a lot of guys played up the middle this week, but really, really excited. After the series ends, we will do that. I do have, before we get to the Diversified Lenders mailbag, I do have a confession. Okay. I'd never done this in my life, but this weekend, you know, I was with the family. The nephews wanted to go somewhere, so I did go to Bucky's. First time ever. I hated it. I will never go back. Too many people. It's too damn big. I got some garlic beef jerky that just tastes like garlic, which is not bad. But if anybody wants to vote on where to put the sticker on the fridge, we'll add Mr. Beaver. Have some beaver fever on the front of the fridge here for the boys and girls. I don't know who's here.
I think I've only been to Bucky's once, and same deal. I was like, why do people wait in line on the frontage road for this? Like, I mean, I guess it's cool, but it's not worth it, in my opinion.
Packed at 10 a.m. on a Sunday. Packed.
Yeah. Ryan, are you a Bucky's guy?
There's been a few of them that have popped up over North Texas over the last few years, and so the traffic up here isn't as bad as it was kind of in the initial wave, but I still think it's overrated in general. Brisket's good, though. I can do a brisket sandwich. It's no Rojinho, but it's good when you're on the go.
You know, the brisket is really talked up. I had a brisket and egg taco today. I mean, for gas station brisket, it was not terrible.
I'm glad Mateo Nomeo is here to just completely derail the chat. I will say, though, very gracious of him. He said he has baseball takes, but he'll let us have our time. We wouldn't want to compete with baseball prowess, so that's big of him.
Steven Stevens is Team Bucky's for the restrooms only. They were very clean. I did not get the fudge. I tried a chocolate-covered peanut. Again, I didn't know the plan of attack. I did not plan to go to Bucky's. It was just, you know, the 13-year-old and 10-year-old nephews wanted to go to Bucky's, so we went to Bucky's. You know, you can't do anything else, man.
Was it premeditated?
Not on my end. Apparently,
Did y'all notice that I froze there for a second?
Yes.
Did you say, "Hey, Kyle, you froze" when I froze?
I did not, because you roasted me for it.
Roasted you for it.
I also didn't text you about it.
Yeah, let me.
Oh, Kyle! Happy birthday, man!
Thank you. Yeah. Dirty 30.
Ah, nice. And that was in February. I was going to remember the date. I didn't. 16th.
Yeah. Hey, make sure I know when your when both of y'all's birthdays are, so I don't drop the ball on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, I was not going to tell everyone that you tweeted out your own birthday message, but you kind of just. I was laughing at that. Oh man! All right, Discord mailbag.
Can I explain why that's funny? Can I, Kyle, explain that?
Why it's funny that you tweeted your own birthday graphic?
Yeah.
I don't know that it needs an explanation, but I would love it. Well,
again, there are layers to this. So I am not a birthday person. Like, I'll be honest with you, Rob, Ryan, I love y'all both. When it's your birthday, like if I see it on Facebook, I might happy birthday, but like I don't, it doesn't move the needle for me. And my own birthday doesn't move the needle for me. I'm not like, hey, let's go do something crazy and I demand a lot of presents or anything like that. So that's why I tweeted it. Was like I was being that person who insists that like you spend an entire weekend or week celebrating their quote birthday week, and I think that's absurd. And so I was kind of, I don't actually need anybody to ever wish me happy birthday. It doesn't really matter to me. And so doing that was a little bit ironic, in my opinion.
Personal observation. For a guy who doesn't care about birthdays, you mentioned it quite a bit leading up.
I did this year, yeah. I leaned into that. Well, okay, in my defense.
You only 30 once.
In my defense, part of that is because opening day was also on my birthday. And so anytime opening day was mentioned, it was like teeing me up to be like, hey, that's also my birthday. No, I've actually gone as far as to like delete my entire Facebook page for just my birthday so that nobody wishes me a happy birthday. But apparently LinkedIn tells you. And so I have like strangers that I've never met on LinkedIn. They're like, happy birthday. Like, let's network. And I'm like, no.
I have a Facebook friend who has wished me a happy birthday for a decade. I don't think I've ever talked to him in person. And I've never told him happy birthday.
Well, that's nice of him.
I don't know. And maybe he's just that guy that does it to everybody.
Yeah.
But I look forward to it every year.
I used to, back in the day, sorry, we're off the rails here.
No, we're fine.
Facebook was just like formatted differently. And if you just wish somebody a happy birthday on a day when it wasn't their birthday,
yeah,
like everybody else would see it and just go along with it. Mm-hmm. And so you could totally like 4 months before somebody's birthday be like, hey, happy birthday, Rob. And like 25 of our mutual Facebook friends would be like, hey man, happy birthday. And like, they have no idea. So I used to do that to people.
It's a funny prank.
Yeah, it was, I guess, when I was like 16 or something.
What's the best prank you ever pulled?
Ooh.
That's the first question in the Discord mailbag that I just asked.
Oh, I need some time to think if you or Ryan have one.
Diversified Lenders, you can turn your accounts receivable into cash. Diversifiedlenders.com. They do a lot more. If you need equipment or, again, cash, call Diversified Lenders.
Ryan, do you have a good one?
So I used to watch a lot of YouTube growing up, especially prank channels. So I was always trying stuff around the house, especially with my sister. And one day I tried where you hide a bucket of water on top of the door. And so then when the person opens the door, the water dumps on them. And that just worked to perfection. The bucket actually fell on her head and covered her. She looked like a lampshade. And so that I was pretty proud of that one.
Steven says cash is a good NIL opportunity. Yes, it is. With Diversified Lenders, accounts receivable, cash. The best prank we ever pulled was my senior year of high school when we graduated. We dumpster dove for 3 hours overnight, 6 truckloads of crap, moldy mattresses, broken treadmills, picnic table, and put it in my history teacher's front yard. And then by 6 a.m., we put signs on 2 major roads, and people were knocking on his door at 6 a.m. to go to a garage sale of trash. He didn't make any money, and he was up at 6 telling people to go away. That's my crowning achievement.
Do y'all know what Cardboard Kitty is?
No.
It's where you like build the silhouette of a cat out of cardboard and just like paint it black or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you tape like 2 dimes for eyes.
And put it in the road?
Yeah, put it in the road. And like we would do that at midnight and then just like park on the side street. And these people would like it's hard to describe. There's this like connection street in our neighborhood where like you could go a little bit faster than the usual neighborhood speed. And people would like slam on the brakes until they like, realized what it was. But one time this guy, like, most people just realize when they like drive past, like they'll go around it or whatever. So one guy got like mad. He like got out, like picked it up and put it in his car. And I think he like saw us. And so we sped off. Another time I had this, app on my phone that simulated a police siren, and my friend's little brother was like hosting some party. They were like 16, you know, it's like children. Anyway, they were not supposed to be drinking, but they were, I guess. If they got caught, they could have called Barnett, Howard, and Williams. Anyway, so they were like really nervous about this, the kids at this party, and like I wasn't there, but so we drove up and like parked in this cul-de-sac where the party is, and I like turned the volume on my truck all the way up. And they like wouldn't even come like answer the door to let us in or whatever, because they were like so worried it was going to be the police or something. Anyway, after like minutes of, it was like a hostage standoff, but this kid finally like comes out and he's walking down the driveway. I like blare the siren. He was so scared. He like ran like through the backyard and like behind the house. I was like, dude, the police aren't going to show up running a siren because they busted your like underage party. But, that wasn't really a prank. It was just kind of like a mean thing we did to that kid. But yeah, we did Cardboard Kitty. That was kind of a go-to.
I'd never heard of that.
It's a good time.
Did y'all flamingo people?
No.
It was like a pay it forward thing. You would like put plastic flamingos, like 40 of them in a yard. And then they would like pay for the next person to do it. It was like a thing. Like maybe it's like a fundraiser thing. We would fork people, get a 100 pack of forks. One time we forked somebody and then put Vaseline on all of them so they couldn't pull them out of their yard. We wrapped a girl one time and then watched her clean it up. Her mom got pissed. Cleaned it up at midnight, and then we did it again right when she went back inside.
I always hated that. When your mom was like, why did your friends TP us? I'm like, I don't know, because they're idiots. Like, it's not my fault. I didn't tell them to.
Yeah.
Okay, so this other time, I just thought of this. Same friend's little brother, we like simulated a kidnapping. And then like one of us simulated a police officer, and I actually don't remember like some of the specifics, but these kids were like so gullible that like I knew who I was talking to on the other end, but I don't know if I should admit this. I think it's technically a crime to simulate a police officer, but
yeah. I've done it too. Prank calls.
And he like didn't believe that we were the police, which he was right. But then I was like, yeah, we've got voice recognition technology here at the police department. Am I speaking to? And I like said his first name and last name in the street he lived on. He was in like shock for 5 seconds. And he was like, dude, I don't know who you are. Please just bring our friend back. But anyway, I wish I could remember more of the dynamics of that. But anyway, we let them know eventually that like our friend's little brother was not kidnapped and they were fine with it. But it's a felony. Awesome.
Yeah, I prank called my principal's daughter one time. And 5 minutes into the conversation, he was like, Mr. Bro. He was listening the whole time on the other line. Oh, damn. It's like, I thought I was hiding my voice there, John.
I don't think I ever actually said, because I knew this was a crime, like, hey, this is Officer So-and-so with... But I think I, like, sort of left that impression.
Oh, that was a go-to for us. Yeah, this is Sergeant Picklebody. Yeah, we'd say that all the time.
It's like, you can call me Sarge.
We prank called relentlessly. We were so stupid. We called them campouts, but it was, we just had sleepovers, like almost like in high school every week. We had a shop we stayed in.
I was a pretty good kid growing up. I feel like Ryan was a better kid. And Rob, I feel like if we were start bench cutting, you were like probably the rowdiest of the bunch.
What? To private school. As I just say all my troubles there. We did. We TP'd quite a bit. We were menaces. Somebody else called Ryan a menace, but
that's a funny comment, the last one.
Matthew says, sometimes I drive by my buddy's house, which my phone connects to his Wi-Fi and blare Spanish music on some random Wi-Fi speaker. It's like a Google Home. I've been doing it for 3 years. Does he know? Oh, man. I would get rid of that Google Home if somebody did that every time. Like, even if I didn't, like, if especially if I didn't know who it was and it just happened sometimes. I'm paranoid, though. All right, let's run through these because we have a bunch of them. All right. Diversified Lenders Mailbag. I already did the ad read. What's your favorite throwback logo, team color, scheme, uniform, any sport? That's a big question.
So many.
Right off the top, my favorite collegiate throwback is Texas Tech's baseball throwback with the script Tech. Kind of the eggshell shirt, red lettering. Red hat, flat double T. Trying to stall for you. You guys have one? Like the Jazz throwbacks. Hey, you had a good tweet the other day about the 90s basketball teams.
Yeah.
Mavericks had a great 90s run. Raptors.
Yep. I love I guess Rockets fans hated that era, but I love the pinstripe basketball uniforms that the Rockets had in the late 90s.
I had a pair of T-Macs in junior high.
Yeah, I like the Spurs Fiesta color scheme, which they're doing that a little bit more today. But I like sticking to the Big 12. I really like UCF's throwback. They were the Citronauts. It's like an astronaut citrus fruit looking thing. I think it's kind of cool. Really anything 90s kind of themed. The purple and teal stuff, like the Charlotte Hornets, the NBA All-Star uniforms were purple and teal. The Pistons were teal back then. I don't know why, but I just love
Jazz
that.
Jazz throwbacks.
I love that color wheel. Yeah, the Jazz.
Ryan, do you have any favorite throwbacks?
Ooh, and the Oilers in the NFL.
Yes.
Raptors throwbacks with the actual Raptor on the jersey. Those are nice.
Yeah, the purple and black, so good. They don't use enough purple anymore. I'm a big purple guy. You tell me. Also happy anniversary. That happened in the mailbag as well.
Whose anniversary is it?
Your wedding anniversary? Is it coming up? Has it already happened?
It's not for a couple months.
Oh, I just assumed since you brought it up. Did you want us to start preparing for that as well?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
Guys, please don't send gifts to my address, which I'll share with you just in case. But yeah,
you need a PO box for all the
really unnecessary.
What's the
if you do? If you do send me gifts, $500 limit, like no big deal at all, okay?
Is it the Wood anniversary?
5 years?
Yeah, is that the Wood anniversary?
I don't know.
We'll buy you a Chuck cutting board.
Okay. You don't have to do that, just for the record.
You know, one of us got the other one a Christmas gift. So.
Hey, scoot your head a little bit. Other way? Yeah, that hat behind you?
Yeah. Oh, you did give me that hat. Oh, yeah, we're even then.
Yeah, we're even Stevesies.
You know, I wouldn't need to be even, though. I mean, that's just the kind of guy I am. Gift you. I would not remember things like that down the road.
No.
Let's see. What's also, your favorite sticker on your fridge?
Actually, I'm not over this yet because that was an attempted cheap shot. The Christmas gift you got me, you also got it for yourself. So,
you also got a Gaucho's hat for yourself.
I did not.
Oh, you don't have a Gaucho's hat like this?
Not from Spreadshirt or whatever it was before we were with Cardinals.
This is my favorite sticker on my fridge. The butthead. It's a good one. There's a couple magnets, too, I like. But my mom got me a magnet that was like, hey, don't be a douchebag or something. I was like, oh, thanks. Let's see. What is phase four? We'll tell you later. Should college baseball play with wood bats? No.
No.
There's some gun jokes in here. What's going on? We talked about this one already, but if 7 conference wins is believed to be the minimum number to get in the tournament, what past 3 conference losses would you like to get back? And I'm going to whittle it down to 1. You can have 1 conference loss back this season. What would you get back?
I think I think TCU and Fort Worth. Well, that and Texas and Austin were just so symmetrical in the way you lost them. Like, big halftime lead. Those are both – I guess Texas because they're the better – like, the higher net team. You would have gotten a lot of credit for that road win. So, I'll say Texas.
You're up by 12. Ryan?
Yeah, got to be Texas. And if I've got to switch it up, I'd probably take the Kansas game at home because I was still within a bucket.
That's what I would do.
The other route you could go is the OU loss in Lubbock because that was your worst loss. And so that would also help your resume in a different way. You wouldn't get a ton of credit for winning it, but it would help your overall record and you'd eliminate what I think is a borderline quad two, quad three loss, depending on where their net ranking is any given day of the week.
To be fair, the question asker, Pancho Loco, had Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas as his three.
Yeah.
If the Pac-12 becomes a 20-team league, would the Pac-12 drop to a group of five conference? That is a loaded question. If the Pac-12 becomes a 20-team league, who's in it?
I think they're talking if you do full-on merger, Big 12, Pac-12.
Okay. I mean, if they start adding SMU and San Diego State and
– No, that's what I'm saying. Like, if instead of that, the entire Big 12 joins the Pac-12. I think that's what they're asking.
Or if the Pac-12 joins – I mean, it would be the Big 12. I don't – I refuse the question. Yes, it would be a group of five. If there's no Big 12 teams involved and you're just adding – I mean, if you join the Mountain West, if the Mountain West joins the Pac-12 – it's Fresno State and whoever else. No, I don't like that. Big Hen's phone died. What I miss? Oh, Ryan says he's going to send Kyle a stripper to celebrate. Is that for the fifth anniversary or for the birthday?
Yeah, definitely don't do that.
Favorite throwback from Matthew, the ones that Texas Tech wore against Oklahoma State and TCU. I do like those.
Level the bevel.
Rank the Gauchos by level of dick knockerness.
I guess Mainville is – start Mainville. I guess for clarification, this is a basketball term, right?
I think it can apply to many walks in life. I think Kyle is the biggest dick knocker. I think you have some bravado, Kyle. I would say you're a dick knocker.
You like Talladega Nights?
Yeah.
For like Cal, where I'm a little confused by your tactics. Like, I don't know if that's an insult or a compliment. So I thought it was a basketball term, and I think Mainville has the most storied basketball career out of any of us. Rob, I think the only thing on your basketball resume, from what I recall, was a Bounty Gate type scandal in junior high.
You know how when a kid scores and then the whole crowd goes crazy and everybody's like, why is everybody cheering? It's like, oh, well, he doesn't score often. I scored 2 points that year, and everyone went crazy. That was like seventh grade. That was my final year. So I had the Bounty Gate situation, and then everyone cheering for me like I'm a special kid at the end of the bench. Big Hen is ranking dick knockers, and I don't know if this is 1-4 or 4-1, but he says Money, Rob, KP, Kyle. I guess Keith Patrick is now a Gaucho since he joined the Gauchoverse.
I don't think I'm on good terms with Big Hen right now, just like man to man. I think there's some friction there. And I want to get it corrected, but I think that might have weighed into his decision.
If guests are included, and Keith Patrick, more than a guest, you know, great man, often referenced here on the show. I would go Dallas Braden is probably the biggest dick knocker, and then Sonny Cumbie.
BJ,
Cody Campbell probably has some good dick knocker around. Obviously, I don't know what that means. I don't know if we should be saying it so much. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're the only one saying it.
Dick knocker? Let's see. This kind of feels oddly appropriate. Getting to know the Gaucho segment where one of you admits to a phase as a young child where they went around punching people in the nuts. Either of you?
I punched someone in the face during a basketball game once, and it got me kicked out of Boy Scouts.
Was it in self-defense? Did the kid deserve it? What's the backstory there?
So we were just playing like a pickup game, and I went up for a layup, and he grabbed the back of my shirt, and I'm like, hey, man, that's a foul. Let me get my shots. And he's like, no, it's not a foul. You're weak. I was like, no, I'm not. You gave me contact. And then he was like, this is contact. And he pushed me, and I punched him, but I got him like right on the nose. Like, I really wasn't like, I'm not that guy. But I got him right on the nose, and he started bleeding pretty bad. And I guess that's not the Boy Scout way.
Hell yeah. D-Wayne is sweating for some reason. I don't know what that means.
That guy is weird.
Just start calling him Dwayne. Are the Gauchos planning to drive or fly to the Final Four in Houston? I'll probably drive. I've made the drive twice in the last month. I actually enjoy the drive. I'm going to make it again in 2 weeks because I'm going to go down to Minute Maid.
Ooh. Do y'all know what Von Lane is?
I know Lindsey Vonn.
No free ads, but Von Lane is like this – it's like the private jet of charter buses. And so I might Von Lane from Fort Worth to Houston if I can.
Nice. See you at Bell Station. Should we do the start bench cut of players' dads?
No.
Why not? You said no?
Yeah, I don't want to start bench cut players' parents. I feel like that's a really bad road to go down.
All right, I'll do it. Start bench cut Richard Isaacs, Renard Buys Houses, and Henry Columbia. No disrespect to Richard Isaacs, but I start Renard Buys Houses. That dude is loyal, still rooting for Texas Tech. Bench Richard Isaacs. And I'm sorry, Bill Walton's kid, if you know, you know. I'm cutting Henry Columbia's dad, which is also named Henry Columbia. Luke says, can I hitch a ride to Minute Maid? Are you in Lubbock? Dwayne says, start Pop's dad, the end. Hey, man. Renard, man. He was awesome. Still is. Bill Walton's kid starting all three. I'll skip some of the stuff where Kyle doesn't know what a dick knocker is. Sorry, I had to get it in one more time. Star bench cut, Horse and Fanfare, Go Fight Win, Fight Raiders Fight, and the Matador song.
Start the Matador song, bench the fight song, cut the other one.
Same.
Luke. Yeah, man, we'll talk about it. DM me. Talk about it. Is it possible that Raheinho's is that good? Yes. And it's Raheinho with an E.
I just caught straight there, really.
People have said that. People say,
I told you.
Shelly, what?
I'm going to clarify. I said Von Lane. It's the name of the bus company. Von Lane.
Yeah. But fondling is also an elite. What did you call it?
Von Lane.
No, but what'd you say? The charter flights of, is that what you said?
It's like the private jet of charter buses.
Charter buses. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, fondling is the private jet of, I don't know.
Thank you, Shelley.
But people say, Raheinho can't be that good. They pay you to say that. They do pay us. They are an advertiser. But every time somebody has said that and then tried Raheinho, they say, you guys don't even do it justice. We need more. We're going to go again. So, there you go. Von what? Von Lang?
Sorry, bud.
All right. No, I like Shelly. Shelly's very nice.
Shelly too.
Yeah. Final thoughts?
Are we there already? I thought you said we had a lot of mailbag questions.
We just did 20 minutes of them.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Time's fun when you're having flies, man.
Okay, what do you say? Final thoughts?
Yeah. So I close every episode.
Ryan, do we have anything coming up on YouTube that the people need to be looking for?
Yeah, I'm going to be working on a video of Texas Tech shot makers and how that's really the key to unlocking the offense down the stretch. So look for a video, especially thinking about Jalen Tyson and Pop Isaacs coming early this week.
Of course, everybody listening live right now is on YouTube with us. But if you haven't subscribed yet, youtube.com/@gamblinggauchos. And yeah, some really good stuff there. Full length episodes, and Ryan has put out good stuff all basketball season. That was the moment I knew that I thought West Virginia was in trouble, was Jalen Tyson hit like a mid-range pull up off the dribble, and it just looked so smooth. I was like, all right, we're here to play. Let's go.
That was after
he did not lose. That guy will win you a lot of basketball games, and he's done it. He really willed you to victory in that Iowa State game too.
Yeah.
I want to say that that shot you're talking about, was that after an offensive rebound, or was that like a loose ball?
They just, I don't remember. I just remember it being early in the game. Thinking like, if he's hitting that shot, then we'll be good.
And he had 27.
Yeah. On like 11 of 15, just crazy efficient.
Big Hen is memeing through a comments saying, when you listen to the Gambling Gauchos, you come for the start bench cuts, but stay for the final thoughts. Is that true? Do we stay for the
I think a lot of people leave because of the start bench cuts. I know for a fact we've lost at least one Twitter follower because of start bench cut.
Yeah, well, he's not a very good lawyer compared to Barnett, Howard, and Williams.
That's kind of a stray shot.
Actually, yeah, he might be a great lawyer. I don't know. I don't know that guy.
But yeah, our preferred attorney here on the show is Barnett, Howard, and Williams. I wonder what the statute of limitations is on impersonating a police officer, like just asking for a friend there.
For me? All right. I keep trying to turn those off.
If you impersonated a police officer as a teenager, then call Barnett, Howard, and Williams. And they'll probably tell you that was stupid.
That was stupid. All right, I don't have any final thoughts, man. I said them all. Bucky's, man. Tell me where to put it on the fridge. If you want a full fridge tour, smash that like button, hit follow, comment down below. It's YouTube, baby. You can also find us where you find your podcast.
One more thing.
It's way over there. The subscribe.
I wasn't pointing. I was the number one. One more thing. Can y'all stay on for a phase four discussion once we end the recording here or end the stream?
What's your favorite song involving the number one?
Oh, see, I could go Brian McKnight.
Yeah, step
start one. Back at one. Nelly, I Am Number One.
One
Day More from Les Mis.
One Day More. We don't. Hey, let's not do
that. Oh, Only One? Only One by Yellow Card, the acoustic version? Oh, that's Ryan knows what I'm talking about.
Ryan does strike me as a Yellow Card guy. Is that true?
I dabble.
You like that era of music?
I dabble.
Shelly wants a full fridge tour next episode.
So, is it Finger 11? One Thing?
Yeah. What about One Is the Lonely?
If I created it. Oh,
I gave it all away for one thing. Man, that's some good music. Had a lot of road trip. Nailed some Dashboard Confessional this road trip, by the way.
All right, start bench cut. Hands down, Vindicated, or Reason to Breathe?
Hands down.
Hands down what?
Start.
Bench. Okay, Vindicated.
Yeah.
What?
Bench Vindicated.
Okay.
Big Hen is still waiting on money to bust out the guitar. So am I, honestly. So am I.
That'll be my final thought next episode. I'll play us out.
We're holding it to you. All right. I got in trouble, by the way, by corporate because we were playing music on our episodes. That's why we don't have music anymore. Spotify was reaching out to corporate, so won't be our corporate for long. All right, phase four. We'll see you later.
Love y'all.